Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. How is everybody feeling? I have missed you guys. It has been officially a week and what, 2 or 3 days since I have been back in New York. And oh man, it honestly does feel so amazing to be back. That was my first time spending like an extended period away from my house. And it was so much fun. It was so rejuvenating. It was so relaxing spending time with Hale, and I had the most amazing time. I genuinely did need it, and I know that she did too, and we really, really enjoy each other's company whenever we're together, so it's a lot of fun, and I love her. But yeah, it really did give me such an interesting perspective and kind of like a newfound appreciation for where I'm from. And a lot of you, when I posted that I want to move to New York City, I got so many DMs and people were saying, wait, I thought you did live in New York City. No, I live in New York, but I don't live in New York City, aka Manhattan. So anytime that people that are not from New York, or pretty much anyone that's not from New York or even the US, whenever you say you live in New York, they honestly assume that you live in Manhattan. But New Yorkers know that NYC to us literally is Manhattan. New York City is not, you know, Queens, New York, or Long Island, New York, or Brooklyn, New York. Like, that is New York, but that's not NYC. Make sense? So I don't know. I've just been feeling randomly called to, I don't know, like live my life at least for a year in literally the Big Apple, in New York City. You know, I always kind of shied away from it for some reason because I really am a suburbs girl at heart, and I don't really enjoy the hustle and bustle of the city that much. But for what it is that I do, and being, you know, an influencer and things like that, I do realize, like, okay, wait, I live in the greatest, you know, city pretty much, or state, whatever you want to call it. And I really kind of want to take advantage of that. And I don't know, I've been feeling really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like really like excited and rejuvenated when, and like very alive whenever I'm in the city. And, you know, I've always appreciated the luxury of being in the suburbs and living in the suburbs and going to the city and things like that. But at least while I'm in my 20s, the very few years that I have left, I really feel like I just want to explore that. So we will see what happens in the near future. It's something that is definitely on my mind because I just love that energy that the city gives you. And I'm sure many of you can actually agree. So yes, I have been back. I'm officially acclimated. Usually I'm pretty much on top of everything. It did take me about 2 days to unpack all of my stuff because remember, I was literally gone for an entire month. And when I was unpacking all these things and unloading all the bags into my house, I just thought to myself, like, wow, I get so much done literally alone. Like, literally, I don't have any help. Like, I packed everything myself, loaded it in my car myself, unpacked it myself, like everything, you know what I mean? And it just made me realize how much running around I do. And while I was away too, I was still driving to Brooklyn to go to church and everything because that's very important to me. And it just really shifted my perspective because I felt like, oh my gosh, like this is what it's like to live away from my family. And I did miss them a lot. I really did. So when I came back to New York, the first like 2-3 days, I was spending every single day with my family because I was away for so long. And I don't know, it was very refreshing, and I feel really good and just balanced and ready to take on everything else. So I think before, I don't know if it was my age or whatever it was, but needless to say, I'm glad that I'm in the mind frame and mindset that I am in right now, where when I tap back into my work, I don't feel like overwhelmed by everything that I need to do. I am able to process things very clearly without having like this overwhelming like sense of doom or anxiety or anything of all the work that needs to be done. Like, I have a lot of work that I need to get done. And a lot of the times, and I've said this before, like, I always have things to do, and I'm sure a lot of you do too. And whenever you're doing something else, a lot of the times you're probably ignoring something else that needs to be done. So when you tap back in, I think it's easy to kind of feel that overwhelming feeling. But luckily, I don't feel that literally at all anymore. It's been like that for quite some time now, where I feel like, okay, I'm ready to tap back in. You know, I've been kind of integrating this sort of practice and mindset into my lifestyle for quite some time now. So I guess it's just a matter of, it just gets easier as you know, go on. So that is pretty much the life update with me. Also, huge, my birthday is coming up. It is April 21st. Yes, I am turning 28. I cannot believe that I am turning 28. How does it feel? It feels very, I don't know, I just feel very wise and mature and responsible. I don't really know how else to say it. It's like a feeling, and it's just something that you cannot get prematurely. It's just one of those things that just happens in life, depending on, you know, your perspective, your mindset, and the things that you do and your diet. And when I say diet, I mean what you consume emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and of course physically. So I don't know, I feel really good. And I also have this amazing feeling about my future, that my 30s are going to be like the best years of my life. I am someone that is kind of obsessed with being young, or at least looking young, not being young, but looking young. So it is a bit of a adjustment to actually take in, like, oh my gosh, I only have a year left of my 20s and whatever. But that's the anxiety kicking in. I don't want to get too much ahead of myself. But I've just been drinking a lot of lemon water, really focusing on my diet as well, because, you know, I don't know, something about spring in general makes you just want to, you know, do some spring cleaning, whether that be in your household or whether that be in your body. And I've just been feeling like, okay, you know, like last year for my birthday, I really got into skincare, and that really stuck with me. And this year, I feel like I am being like called to the direction of like really focusing on like gut health and things like that. So I've just been making sure that I'm taking my pre-probiotics, making sure that I'm eating things that are healthy for my gut, because I realize that I do have the tendency to be like a little bloaty at times. I'm very petite, so it's very easy for me to gain weight. Like, whether that's 5 or 10 pounds, that's the most that I usually gain. And it's just very obvious when I do, because, you know, there's like only but so much room that I have like on my body, and it's so easy to gain that, but it's also easy to lose it as well, which is the good thing. So that's what I'm focused on right now, just feeling good in my body, feeling agile. So if you follow me on Instagram, I recently got some SoulCycle classes again, I got some Pilates sessions, and I also go to another gym. So before I was going to Equinox, now I'm going to Lifetime. I know it's like, Aisha, what are you doing? But it's like, I don't know. You guys know that it's like a huge passion of mine, fitness. And I promise you, I will definitely have a separate YouTube channel for that probably in the future, or do something with fitness, because I'm just way too passionate about it to not do anything with it. But I honestly can say, I'm going to be honest, I do like Lifetime Gym a little bit more than Equinox. Now, here are my transparent pros and cons list. So Equinox is more of like a boutique style gym, right? Yes, it's very pricey, but it's very, very small in terms of the actual facility, and also the demographic of people that go there are going to be a lot older. And when I say older, I don't mean like, I'm talking like at least like 40s and 50s. And if you do see people that are like my age in their 20s and things like that, they're far and few between. And also the gym is almost never like packed at all. And for some, that's like a good thing. for me, I'm the type of person where I'd like a little action, you know, I want something to kind of look at. And before then, and I still actually do, to be honest, have a membership at LA Fitness. It's just something that I will always have just because I pay like really next to nothing and I get access to all the gyms in the world of LA Fitness. That's why I love it. And I also can bring a guest with me every single day if I want to. So that person, kind of whoever goes with me, if I really wanted to, can kind of have like a free membership as long as they go with me. And we can be anywhere in the world, you know, for, and the price is literally amazing. So that's why I always kind of keep that, you know, because you never know who you're going to meet. It's like, oh, let's go to the gym together. And it's like when you go to these gyms like Equinox and Lifetime, things like that, those are the only ones that I have knowledge of. You don't get guest pass access like LA Fitness, nor for the price point. And also in addition to that, you don't get, you don't have the ability to bring, you know, a guest really much at all. You get like one guest pass a year pretty much, and that's literally it. So needless to say, back to what I was saying about the pros and cons. So Equinox, yes, it's a smaller gym. It's very, very clean. I mean, especially the location that I was going to by me, it's like 20, it's the very, very cleanly, but there isn't much action going on. So it does kind of get a little boring, even though I absolutely do love the facility. Now, at Lifetime Gym, where I currently go, there's a lot more of a mixture of people and a lot more traffic, like almost incomparable to Equinox. So it's a huge facility, unlike Equinox, and there are way more people, and you have people of all ages. I mean, even teenagers. Like, I've never really seen, for some reason, teens at the gym that much, but I think the way Lifetime membership works is there are a lot of different memberships based on your age. So I believe their memberships go based on age. So it's a lot cheaper, I guess, for the teens, whatever it is. But there's a lot more traffic there. And it's still a pretty clean facility. It's not like Equinox is, to be totally transparent, but it's still pretty good. There's a sauna and a steam room. They also have like a co-ed sauna as well. They have like pool. They have like a ton of stuff. It kind of feels like you're at a spa all day long, as opposed to at Equinox, it feels very luxurious and like high class and exclusive, right? Lifetime feels like a spa where like kind of everyone can kind of come, but not in like a negative way. I don't know. I hope you guys are understanding what it is that I'm saying. So Equinox feels very like exclusive and like private and like no one really shows up that much, but you have like your classes and things like that. It's a completely different vibe than Lifetime. But I really do like Lifetime Gym because I enjoy that traffic and I enjoy having that activity around me because it just, for some reason, it really motivates me, right? Like imagine going to a SoulCycle class and you're just by yourself or there's no one there. Like it's very motivating to have people around you that you know off the bat are interested in what you're interested in because they are there like you are. So yes, that's pretty much what I've been up to for my life update. And this is such a long life update because I haven't spoken to you guys in the past week. And yeah, I was just getting adjusted and acclimated to everything. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even gonna be like hard on myself for anything because I've been doing so much traveling and things like that, that I just needed to like get all of my like stuff together. So that brings me to today's topic. I wanna talk about something that I actually saw on Instagram about Russell Wilson. And there's this post, I guess, or certain posts that are going viral on social media, whether that be Twitter or what have you. I don't have a Twitter, so I literally don't even know, but I saw it on my Instagram and I did post about it. And I really wanna talk about why in certain aspects, or for the most part, I'm gonna go as far as saying that traditional values really work over more modern values. Now, keep in mind, I said for the most part, all right, for all the people that are gonna be sensitive out there. And so I actually Googled, right? Traditional values versus modern values. So what does that mean? So traditional values stress collectivism, submissive, self-restriction, preservation, of traditional practices, protection, and stability. And modern values represent motivations to pursue one's own success and dominance over others, or gratification for oneself. Now, being that I mainly always talk about relationships, whether that be with others or ourselves, I think that number one, me being a Taurus, everything needs to be done in moderation, right? Everything needs to be done with balance. That is like the key of life, I believe, balance. And it's a struggle to find balance, whether it's down to the foods that we're consuming or down to, you know, newfound things that we take interest in. And we kind of go through a phase where we're just like obsessive over certain things. Now, as it pertains to relationships, the reason why I will always be more of a traditional type of woman is because, one, I don't care what anybody says. You can believe whatever it is that you want to believe, but 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, if you're a consumer of Quality Queen Control, you more than likely do find interest in what I'm saying or agree with my perspective for the most part. And I think that as it pertains to this sort of modern perception of sex and how we view our bodies is not something that I necessarily agree with, because as much as certain people want to say that it's outdated and you could do whatever you want and be free, we as women by design, I don't believe, are really meant to find fulfillment in behaving in the manner that men do. And I do understand that this like sort of hypervigilance of the new modern woman in certain ways stems from, you know, maybe that be, whether that be broken homes, lack of a father in a home, or whatever, like pain and jadedness, you know, has stemmed from whatever they have, you know, certain people have experienced in their lives. But we as women by nature are not meant to find fulfillment in sleeping with this person and that person. And this is why I don't believe in casual sexual, you know, relations and things like that, because nothing is casual about being naked with somebody, right? No. Like, let me be very clear. What is casual about being naked with somebody? I'd love to know. What is casual about it? Because 9 times out of 10, somebody's always going to catch feelings, and it's not usually going to be the guy. Not to say that it's impossible, right? But it's usually going to be the woman, because we only usually do things like that to show that we like a guy. We're letting him into our world, right? But for men, it varies. It could be, hey, you're cute. Hey, I like your body. It's usually very surfacey at first. But for women, as much as we will be attracted to somebody and that's a showing that we really like someone, more than likely, I can guarantee you that we wouldn't want to get with someone and then literally never hear from them again and genuinely be okay with it. Oh, yeah, I just got with this guy last night. Yeah, we never spoke again. Not even curious about his whereabouts. Don't even need to know his name. Like, are there women out there that are like that? Probably. But in comparison to the vast majority, not many. And that's what I'm gearing towards. The vast majority, not the anomalies. And the anomalies love talking about this, that's not true. I don't care what you think isn't true. Oh my God, I got with my boyfriend and we literally slept together on the first date. And he literally is still with me to this day. We've been together for literally 2 years. Okay, good for you, but that's not the vast majority of people. Because if it boils down, honestly, to science. Think about the chemicals that men release when they do have intimacy and the chemicals that women release when they have intimacy, right? They're two different chemicals that make them do two different things. So even at a baseline, something like that, to have that connection and for it to be feel like actually good and wholesome and not like you're doing this for sport, you can't tell me that you're just having great and amazing connections with every single person that you meet and you're just never speaking to them again. Like, that's not true. That's not possible, because it's just simple human psychology that when you like something, when you enjoy something, especially as a woman, you're going to want to have that experience again, right? So this is why I could never hop on board for this whole like, oh, sleep with who you want, do whatever you want. Like, I have my own reasons personally. Like, for me, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm a Christian. That's not something that I really want to do from like faith-wise and things like that. It's just something that I can't get on board with. I don't want to share my body with everyone and all these different things. That's just me personally. And then on a non-religious perspective, or non-faith-based perspective, to me, on a scientific level, it just doesn't make sense, because you're not going to find fulfillment in, you know, being with this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. You're not going to find fulfillment. And treating it like a sport, treating sex and intimacy like a sport, it's not. And that's why it doesn't work. And that's why friends with benefits doesn't work, because somebody always gets feelings. Someone always has feelings for the other person. Someone is always, think about it like this. We as women have the tendency to, we can bond with somebody just speaking to them every day. Never even see. That's why there are so many people. You ever see those girls or those women on like the Dr. Phil show, the Maury show? And it happens to men too, to be fair. But I'm talking about women today. And imagine, like, you see them on the Dr. Phil show, and they're like in this online relationship and have emptied out their bank accounts for someone that was basically catfishing them for a year or two. And every time the guy promises he's gonna come up to visit her, something happens. He forgot his passport. How do you forget your passport when you know you don't live in this country? Or he got stopped at customs and they won't let him through, and he needs you to send him X amount of money so that he can get through customs. And then once he got through customs, they told him, oh, there are no more flights, so he ended up having to go back home. And then he booked out his schedule already, but since he's back home, he realized he might as well stay there and get all a bunch of his work done, so he'll just see you when he sees you again. Like, how is it that we tend to fall for things like that, or certain women are subject to falling for things like that? And as easy as it is to say, like, oh, they're just so stupid, things like that, one thing I've learned is never say never. You never know the type of situation that's going to happen to you. So the harder you critique other people, the more your life is going to get very crafty and try and bring similar situations to yourself. But at the very baseline, I think it's important that we do address as women our like actual feelings in order for us to be, you know, lean into that femininity and to be submissive and things like that, because that's like a huge topic, right? And people are, it's so controversial. People are like, some people are like, I don't want to be submissive, and then other people are like, you know, I'm fine with being submissive, right? But to some people, I realize the ones that are against being submissive in a relationship, they tend to have this black and white perspective, at least from what I've seen, that being submissive means you're letting someone walk all over you, you're going to get abused, you're going to get manipulated, all these different things. I don't agree with that. Being submissive means that you feel safe to do so. If you feel safe to do so, that's going to come, you know, very natural to you. And that does not mean you're only submissive whenever you feel safe. Like, some people are naturally more submissive all around, right? And then some people, they have to feel safe in order to kind of unlock that. But I think our behavior, you know, speaks for itself, right? Everything is in your actions. How are you genuinely behaving? There's no way that you could be super hard, tough, rah-rah, all this stuff, and then the guy comes around and you're like, yeah, no, I love that. Like, no, like, that's a complete polar thing. And another thing I actually want to talk about is being yourself. Like, this comes with age, this comes with immaturity and wisdom, where you realize, okay, I'm not gonna mold myself into what this guy that I like wants. I'm gonna be my authentic self, because people are either going to like you or they're not, okay? There's no point in having these tricks and gimmicks as it pertains to getting a guy and being everything that he wants. Like, what did Taylor Swift say in one of her songs? Find out what you want, be that girl for a month, but wait, the worst is yet to come. Like, what is that song? Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made. That song. I'm pretty sure it's in that song. But she was saying, like, find out what you want, be that girl for a month. Or is it in Blank Space? I don't know. I'm a Swiftie, though. I'm not going to lie. So, anyways, I say all that to say, there are a lot of people out there that are, like, literally shaping and molding themselves to get the guy, and then the true them really stands out. And to me, I find that to be very deceptive, because I understand to a certain degree dating is a little bit of a game, but you can kind of play an honest game for the most part. You honestly really kind of can. And I've realized this the older that I've become. Like, first of all, the older that you become, you have less time to even play games. You just you just don't have it in you, right? You simply just don't. You don't have the bandwidth to play all of the childish games. It's either, hey, listen, show me what I'm working with here, or let's just go our separate ways. Let's like cut to the chase here. Like enough, you know? And I found myself adopting that perspective as well. I mean, in anything you do, you don't just show everything when you first meet someone because, you know, certain things have to be earned. But what I'm saying is, as it pertains to being a traditional person, is there needs to be a balance, right? Now, in the ways in which I'm modern they don't really pertain to relationships, romantic dynamics, I mean. So even though I am an entrepreneur and I am someone that I did pursue my own success and I will pursue my own success, I understand that when I meet, you know, the person that I'm meant to be with, that I'm okay with him, you know, assuming a dominant role as well. And I know that the person for me is going to understand that, hey, I have my own thing going for myself as well. It's not threatening to him in any capacity. And I want my husband to make all the decisions in our household as long as we both agree on them. I'm okay with that. And also, that does not mean I'm not going to speak my mind. That does not mean that I'm not going to have an opinion. That also does not mean that I'm not going to also make decisions as well. It's a collective, mutual, you know, agreement. Hey, I am letting you take the lead. I respect you enough to allow you to lead. I respect you enough to allow you to have your opinion and things like that. But what society is kind of doing, I'm seeing, is trying to normalize garbage behavior, right? So I saw this post as it pertains to Russell Wilson, and I'm trying to pull it up right now. So someone wrote, "Future has created 7 broken homes, but Russell is the one that is corny. God forbid a man actually is a great father and loving to his wife. This is the world that we live in. I'm scared." So I absolutely was like, wait, what are people talking about? You've got to be kidding me. So then I saw another post, and there's like a little thread saying that basically Russell's like a cornball or something, or he's corny. And there's like a family photo of him and Sierra and the kids. And someone else said, "The narrative of Russell Wilson being soft or square comes from what exactly? Like, what are you guys actually saying? Why is it lame to be nice to women? More importantly, why are nice men called simps?" And this is a question that I actually genuinely have myself. Why are nice guys called simps? I genuinely don't understand. Or should I say kind guys? Because you guys know there's a difference between being nice and kind. And I think this is, you know, society is trying to normalize calling respectful men and men that are proud to show off who they're with, you know, as simps or whatever the case is. I actually don't even really know what a simp is. I think it means you are what is it? Being simple-minded? Is it being like, I don't know. I think it means being corny, and by corny that means kind of, oh my god, like whipped. I think that like that would be the synonym of being whipped. So if someone's saying you're a simp, then that means you're like whipped. Like, oh, bro, you're letting this girl like run you, do whatever. But when people are in love, when people are truly interested and invested in people, we're all just going to simp for each other, right? So why are we turning it into this negative thing? You know what I mean? I think that at the end of the day, if we want to take a look at Sierra's life, okay, Sierra was with Future, you know, Future the rapper. Future has like allegedly like 7+ kids, and with none of the baby mothers, okay, he's just wrecking families across America. And Sierra, as you guys know, famously, you know, everyone's always joking around saying, oh my God, like what was Sierra's prior? Things like that. She found a man who wanted to, you know, create a family with her, who openly supports her, openly loves her, openly, you know, shows her off, and is very vocal about his love for his wife, his respect for his wife, and his admiration for his wife. And same for Sierra. Like you can tell she's always been a very like soft-spoken type of girl, and you can just see that she feels so happy and secure in her relationship with Russell. And what a world of a difference, right, between Future and Russell. Here you have a guy like Future right? And that's like guy A, where he's playing you out, he's going out every weekend, he has you involved in activity that you don't even normally do, you don't smoke, but he, you know, he's smoking with you in the car and doing all this extra. That's just not your lifestyle. I know it's not mine, know that, okay? And then you have Russell, who has a, you know, a relationship with God, who, you know, respects his wife, who has these strong boundaries and, you know, spiritual beliefs as it pertains to what he wants his marriage to look like and how he models his marriage, what he models his marriage after. I think that's very important. And while I'm actually on that topic, right? I posted something the other day on Instagram that I actually want to see if I can find on my Instagram that I wanted to read, talking about generational wealth and traditional values and things like that. I'm going to see if I can find it on Instagram. It's like whenever I'm doing my podcast and I'm looking on my phone, I all of a sudden forget how to maneuver everything and how to find things. So I'm going to see if I can find it right now. I think I posted it yesterday, about traditional values and things like that. Oh my gosh, I hope I can find it. I think I already scrolled up too far. Okay. Okay, I think I got it. No, that is absolutely not it. Oh no, I cannot. All right, well, if I find it, I will definitely read it to you guys because it was so good. It was a post about, you know, basically how to obtain generational wealth and things like that. And with that type of mindset, there are certain things that you have to adapt in order to get that. And it was so good. I have no idea where it is. And I posted it on my story. This is like very frustrating for me because I genuinely cannot find it. And it's driving me insane. Oh my goodness. I don't know. Maybe I did not post it and I thought that I did. Maybe I saved it somewhere. Anyways, needless to say, the point is, one of the things that stuck out to me in that post was it was saying that if you want a man that's going to be, you know, a solid man, a great guy, that's going to be a provider and things like that, then that man needs to have some sort of faith-based spiritual belief, things like that, because men that adopt that sort of traditional mindset tend to always want to be providers for their family. And I thought that that was so significant because it is so true. That is how my father is, and that's what I grew up seeing modeled in my home. And so that just reinforces my belief system in things like this. And I think as a generation, you know, society has painted this picture that, it's like, you know, we shouldn't be with just one person, or human beings are not monogamous by nature, all of this, whatever it is that you believe in, you can find supporting evidence of. If there's anything that I've learned, it's that there's something to back up anything, okay? Like, it's honestly, just find your niche, okay? I'm not here to necessarily demonize other people's belief systems because I don't care. I'm simply speaking to the people that are on board with the things that I believe in and things like that. I'm not by nature someone that likes to convince people of my perspective. I only speak to those that are already open and receptive to whatever it is that I have to say and interested in sharing my perspectives with like-minded people, because why? If I wanted to join debate, I'd be doing something else. So yeah, for me, I absolutely do believe in that. I think it's important to have people that are suitable in your life for you. There's no way that you can be with someone that doesn't have any sort of faith base, literally at all, and you do. And the way you approach life is going to be very different. Like, let's give a very black and white sort of example. If you are someone that is a Christian and you're dating someone that's an atheist, it's like you guys have completely polar opposite belief system. One person believes in, you know, no higher power. The other person does believe in a higher power. How is it going to work? Same as it pertains to lifestyle. You like to do adventurous things. You want to go skiing. You want to go on road trips. You know, let's say your partner, he prefers to go out every night. He wants to go to the club. That's how he wants to show off his wealth. two different lifestyles. If you don't recreate the same, it's also not going to work, babe. I hate to break it to you. Okay? You have to find what it is that suits you. Do not let the world, society convince you of, oh girl, you need to have your man and then your side guy. And this is what really grinds my gears. Anytime people watch my roster video, every now and again, I get someone that just, I don't know how much more I can articulate myself, but they're like, did she just promote cheating? And I'm like, what? I would never promote, nor have I ever advocated cheating. Having a roster, dating multiple people is not cheating, because how is it cheating if you're not exclusive to anybody? So now that just tells me something that I need to know already. That tells me that you're going to be the person, you know, that is more than likely going to be putting all your eggs in one basket, faithful to one person, not having any idea what it is that they're doing, and not having a discussion about being a mature discussion about whether or not you're going to be exclusive with that individual, and assuming that you're in a relationship with that person. That doesn't make any sense. You cannot assume you're in a relationship. And let's just even say if you do choose to date one person at a time, that's also fine. But you cannot assume that that is your man because you feel it is because of your actions. You don't know what other people are doing until you have that conversation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whether or not you choose to have a little roster or whatever, you don't have to have that. The main purpose of that video, honestly, as controversial as it is or was, is to not assume that you are not assume that you're in a relationship with somebody and you have no idea where their head is at. And that video actually at the time was dedicated to also myself and all the other girls that do tend to date guys, and they, you know, and you realize like, oh my goodness, like I'm faithful to this person. I, you know, stop talking to everybody else and focus my time on this one individual, and it kind of went nowhere and we never had a discussion, and I kind of put all my eggs in one basket and I was, you know, really just focusing and honing in on one individual. And I know it's like, okay, well, I thought you said you were traditional, and like, that's not traditional. I am traditional for the most part, I said, as it pertains to romantic relationships. That's not a relationship, okay? It's not a relationship yet, okay? And also it never would I ever promote, of course, sharing your body with everyone that you're talking to and all these different things. That is never something that I've ever said. And some people also assume that too. And that just tells me where their head is at. So you're talking to somebody and you're just going to get with them because you like them and you're talking to them. Like, the older that you get, there are just more things that are involved as it pertains to relationships and things like that. You have to figure out, how does this person fit in my world? How do I fit in theirs? All of these different factors come into play. And whatever it is that you're choosing to do, my number one thing is you need to communicate. You need to have honest and transparent communication so that you know where you stand with that individual. I would never, you know, suggest to, you know, because I know not everyone is capable of doing it. The issue is that a lot of the times, not, you know, maybe dating at least one other person or at least keeping your options open. It's hard to keep your options open in your mind when there's genuinely nothing else to fill that space, right? And whether you can fill that space with your job and your career, these type of mindsets only get easier as you get older. When you're in your early 20s and things like that, it's really hard because when you like somebody, you really like them. You're not considering, oh my God, what is, you know, you don't understand the gravity of what it is that you genuinely want because it's only suiting you for that moment, if that makes sense. But when you, by the time you're my age, you realize, you are a little bit more capable of even dating one person and not really attaching yourself to them fully because you're so focused on other things. You have more responsibilities. You're not like, oh my God, is he going to text me? Is he going to do this? Like, you're not really, at least I'm not. So it does get a lot easier to balance that sort of mindset. So I don't necessarily have to have a roster, you know, if I'm talking to someone or not. Like, I don't necessarily need to, but there was a point where I did because I had to learn, and it was a learning experience for me. And, you know, you don't want to rob yourself of certain things. It's just as simple as going on dates and talking. It's honestly fairly innocent. It's not this big thing that people try to make it seem like, you know, and I wouldn't want to rob myself of those experiences. I'm very grateful that I had them, because you will spend more time with somebody than you are without. And if only people really understood that, especially my younger angels, if you guys really understood that you're going to spend more time with somebody in your life than you are without, you know, you want to just be able to understand the luxury of your youth and take advantage of these opportunities, right? If you don't have any children and you're young and you have just, you know, the simple everyday responsibilities and obligations, you want to take advantage of your singleness and be able to just experience life and not feel this incessant need to do it with somebody all the time. And I think that's very important. And when it does pertain to having traditional values and being with one person, you be with that one person, right? You don't, you know, have people on the side for back. I don't believe in stuff like that. When you're in, you're in. You're out, you're out. And that goes for me, and that goes for whoever's in my life, okay? Because with me, it's a one and then you're done, okay? So That is my perspective on that. I really hope that this was thought-provoking for you guys. Let me know what you guys think. You can DM me. Let me know your thoughts and, you know, on traditional values and this whole thing with, you know, Russell and Sierra and Future, because, I mean, there are great men out there, and I think that there are so many different niches for so many different things. You just want to make sure that you are on a balanced side of life, that you are consuming content and listening to people that are bringing out the best in you and not necessarily fueling some sort of like jaded perspective that you have because of a negative experience that you had. I think it's very important to actually realize that. So with that being said, angels, I love you so much, and I will speak to you guys next week.